welcome to Family Legacy Video's What's Your Story podcast. This is kind of exciting. It's the first show of the series. My name is Steve Pender. I'm a personal historian and video biographer. I specialize in legacy videos, also known as video biographies. I'm president of Family Legacy Video Incorporated of Tucson, Arizona. And this first show is I'm looking at this as being part of a pilot. Maybe we'll do 5, maybe 10 episodes, see what kind of response we get here, and then decide whether or not to move on beyond that 5 or 10. And this show is dedicated to the proposition that everyone, and that means me, that means you, has a life story worth preserving, celebrating, and sharing. Certainly both to enjoy with your family now and to leave as a legacy to the younger generation and generations yet to come. And I happen to believe, as you may have guessed already from the beginning of my introduction mentioning video, that video is just a fantastic way to leave a living legacy of life stories. And that's what we're going to be talking about during the course of these episodes, all aspects of video biographies and video techniques. During the course of this series, I'll be talking about the art and science of video biographies, what video biographies are, the benefits that video biographies provide for both the storytellers, who are what I like to call the folks who are telling the stories on video, as well as their families. Going over tips for working with a pro like myself, hints for you do-it-yourselfers out there, really all aspects revolving around the topic of personal histories as they relate to video. I will on occasion play some audio versions of some video clips for you. And I will be touching a little bit on autobiographies as well because they're also gaining in popularity these days. I'll be certainly looking for your comments and your questions. You'll be able to reach me at steve@familylegacyvideo.com. That's steve@familylegacyvideo.com. First, I'd like to start off, we'll be kind of staying a little bit general in this episode, kind of introductory stuff, laying the groundwork kind of things. But first, I'd like to tell you a bit about myself and how I discovered my passion for personal history on video, and then came to found Family Legacy Video Incorporated. And we'll get started on all that after we take a quick break.
Flak bursting all around his B-17. Door gunners blazing away at enemy fighters. Flashes from below as his bombs hit their targets. Now Dad's grandkids will hear his World War II stories firsthand, thanks to Family Legacy Video.
Now you can share your life stories in a custom legacy video your family will cherish. To learn more, visit familylegacyvideo.com or call 520-743-4090. That's 520-743-4090. familylegacyvideo.com.
Okay, and we're back. So, let's get into my story a little bit because I want you to be able to understand a little bit about who I am and where I'm coming from. I think the groundwork for my interest in family stories, personal history, probably was laid when I was just a kid. I remember that we had a pretty extended family on my dad's side. And we'd get together fairly often, especially during the holidays and the summer months for picnics and dinners and that sort of thing. I had a lot of cousins. We had a ball playing together and just had a lot of fun together visiting. But when I thought back on it, I realized that probably some of my most favorite times during those family get-togethers was, say, after dinner. And maybe as evening was starting to wear on, and the adults would kind of settle into their circle, and they would just start to talk and reminisce. And you know, they would talk about what this one was doing, what that one was doing, sometimes telling a favorite story here and there. Sometimes it would be one person, and then another person would chime in, and then everybody would be contributing, and then it would be back to one person again. But this is where I started to learn, I think, about who all the players in my family happened to be outside of my just immediate family of my parents and my four brothers and myself. And I remember feeling great comfort listening to the adults talk. I think these stories gave me a foundation, maybe even provided a framework for me of who my family was, where they fit into the world, and where I fit in within the family. And like I said, I love those times. I found them very, very comforting. Well, anyway, let's jump ahead. I mean, I got into a career in video. I went to Seton Hall University, thought I'd be getting into radio, but discovered that my passion really was in writing and producing, and that there really wasn't a lot for me in the radio world. And luckily, I landed a job with a public relations company in the New York, New Jersey area that was just getting into video at that time. So I grew along with the company, started from the ground up doing gopher kind of jobs on video shoots, and then was able to move into video editing and doing some writing and producing. And eventually then went out on my own freelancing, doing all sorts of kinds of corporate and business videos, you know, things like training videos and marketing videos and public relations videos, basically things that told the story that my clients wanted to tell. So that's really how I developed my storytelling chops, my video chops, that sort of thing. So I worked for that public relations company for about 8 years and then decided to try my hand at working independently and freelance, and did that for quite a while. Now, luckily, I was very, very, very fortunate to have most of my grandparents survive well into my adult years. Now, one of those grandparents was my paternal grandmother. Her name was Alice Rita Morrissey Pender. Gram, as I called her, she was just a great storyteller. She was the kind of person that knew everybody in the family, knew where they were, what they were doing, and she really told a lot of great stories growing up about her life and her parents and her grandparents. She was born in 1911 in Staten Island, New York. She had very early memories of the goings-on during World War I, and then just going forward from that. And lots of great stories about one of her grandfathers who was a police captain in New York City, stationed at City Hall, so she would go in for ticker tape parades. And I just heard a lot of great family stories from Graham as I grew up. So around about 1995, I realized that she wasn't going to be around forever. And I started thinking about, well, what I could do to capture some of those stories that I'd heard over the years and pass them along to the younger grandkids and nieces and nephews and even great-grandkids at that point who would never know Graham the way that I knew her. So, duh, of course, being in video, I decided that the perfect thing to do would be to interview Graham and then create a documentary about her life. Now, these were the days of, it doesn't sound like a long time ago, and really it wasn't, but still in the mid to late 1990s, these were still the days before, you know, nonlinear editing really came into vogue. So I was working in corporate and commercial editing bays, very expensive facilities, both to build and to rent by the hour. So I got very lucky in that one of my corporate clients allowed me to use their facility and borrow some of their gear. And I found one of my colleagues to run camera. And so I asked Graham if she wouldn't mind sitting down for an interview, and she was only too happy to do that. So one day in 1995 in Clifton, New Jersey, in my apartment there, we all got together. And I spent about an hour talking to Graham about her life and having her tell me a lot of those great stories that I'd heard growing up. Well, I can procrastinate as best as any of them. And several years went by before I finally heeded that little voice in the back of my head saying, you know, you better get this thing done. And my wife and I got back together with my grandmother. We went through a lot of her photos, identified who people were in them, that sort of thing, and where they fit into her story. And I took that material back, pulled the, we were still working in videotape at that time, so pulled the videotapes off the shelf, listened to them, decided how I wanted to sequence the interview. and put together what I think I'll always be proudest of, which is the story of my grandmother's life. We did the whole bells and whistles thing, Ken Burns style, with music and photos and archival footage, and it was really terrific. Now, if I'd really been smart, as soon as I'd finished that video, I would have run over to my grandmother's apartment and played it, and I did not. She died before she had the opportunity to watch the video, and I was beside myself that night when I found out that she had died. And the next morning, I sat down in my living room and popped in, these days it was the VHS, so I popped in a VHS tape, invited my grandmother in, and played it and watched it. And I like to think that we watched it together that morning. At least it makes me feel better to think so. So at any rate, the big premiere of the video took place following the repast after my grandmother's funeral, and I don't need to tell you what a roller coaster ride of emotions that was. But it was a real celebration. Handed out copies afterwards, and we all got on with our lives. But I think that kindled in me the spark of an idea, and I started thinking about, gee, can I possibly do this for a living? Right at that time, I don't think technology and economics was there with me, because I couldn't afford to rent the kind of editing space I would need and the kind of camera crews I would need to actually do this sort of thing properly and have people pay me what it was worth, both for all the gear and for my time. So it simmered for a while. Life went on. My wife and I decided we wanted to leave the East Coast. We were in New Jersey and decided we wanted to get away from the winter, so we wound up moving to Tucson, Arizona. And after 9/11, I started thinking about this idea again. And I still at that time wasn't sure that I could get folks to hire me to produce a video for them. But what I wound up doing instead, I went the do-it-yourself route and created a guide on a CD-ROM aimed at families, really, who had little or no video experience, just to give them an outline of a process that they could follow to organize a family history video project. And actually, in the course of creating that do-it-yourself guide, I had joined a Rotary Club at that time and had some of the members beta test the CD-ROM for me. One gentleman who was a retired engineer came back to me with some good suggestions for some changes. But then he said, my wife and I would really like to do a project like this, but there's no way we're going to do it ourselves. Can we hire you? And so things kind of came full circle. Long story short, I produced a video for these folks. And so that got me started off and running on my career as a professional videographer and personal historian. Now, I'd like to touch on just one of the benefits of a project like this. There are a number, and we'll go into more detail about them in future installments of the show. But I'm going to play you the audio from a clip from my grandmother's video biography. It's a really fun story, and I'll talk about it a little bit more after we listen to it. I like to call it Burnt Peas, and it's a story she tells about her grandmother, and you'll understand after listening to this just why I call it Burnt Peas. So here it is.
Grandma Dearn is very much like my sister Rosemary, if you know Rosemary. A wonderful woman, could do anything. Wonderful sewer and all. She loved fires. She'd make a fire out in the back and in a can or a grate or something. And she was great for taking my grandfather's steaks and putting them in the grill and bringing them down and putting them in the furnace. She almost set the house on fire many a time. My brother Jack always said, if we had peas for dinner, He knew that would be an interesting meal because my grandmother would have shelled the peas and cooked them, but burnt them. So then she'd turn around and open a can of peas. And when my grandfather complained they didn't taste like fresh peas, she'd show him the pods and say, well, there's the pods from the fresh peas. She was a pip.
Isn't that just a great story? I mean, I just get a kick out of that. It's a great piece of family lore. And I just imagine my poor great-great-grandfather. I don't know if the poor man ever ate any fresh peas after he was married, but that's one of the kinds of stories that will crop up as you do a video biography. This story, and I want to get to one of the benefits that this story illustrates, it's that when you embark on a family history project, you'll most likely uncover stories you'd never heard before, or maybe heard only in part. And this is an example because I had no idea that my great-great-grandmother Deering was a bit of a firebug. It was only when I got together with my grandmother Pender and then her sister, my aunt Eileen, one day, and they started chatting about their great-grandparents and other people in the family that this story came up. My grandmother had mentioned her grandmother Deering, and my Aunt Eileen said something to the effect of, oh, is she the one who started the fires? Well, my ears perked up at that point because I never heard anything about, this great-great-grandmother and fires. So that's how I found out about the story. So you never know what you're going to find as you delve into your family history, but that's the kind of neat stuff that really transforms, I think, your understanding of your family and turns folks who you may only have known through, say, old and faded photographs in your family picture albums, and it gives them a dimension and it turns them really into living, breathing people. Gosh, it's just a wonderful, wonderful thing. So, what is a video biography? Well, at its simplest, think about it as a personal documentary. Okay, my style of video biography is really to design it so the storytellers are telling the whole story. I don't hire outside narrators. I don't do narration myself. I really like a video biography in which the storyteller tells the whole story from beginning to end. And in future installments, we'll talk about how I achieve that. And these personal documentaries can be very simple in presentation, just a person on camera telling his or her stories. Or they can be very, very involved, very documentary style, the full Ken Burns Arts and Entertainment History Channel, Biography Channel effect, where you're bringing in lots of photos and music and sound effects and archival material like video and film. So, you know, they can be very, very high end as well. Who does video biographies? Well, anyone who really wants to pass along his or her stories, their family stories, stories of their business. These days, many projects are motivated by the baby boom generation, the children now who want to pass along their parents' stories for their grandkids. And certainly one set of clients has been high net worth individuals who want to capture their stories, but also want the folks who are going to be their beneficiaries to understand how they made their money, where the money came from, and how best to handle it. And a lot of that goes into values, you know, things like, well, why they started their company, or how they built their fortune, or how they feel about money and the best ways to use it, and how they've handled their fortunes. Multi-generational businesses. You know, you may have a business going now for several generations, and the matriarch and the patriarch are still around. And so it's a great thing to be able to capture their stories of the early days, how they built the business, started it and built it, and, you know, their values that drove the business over the years. Be a great thing to be able to play for, you know, say the third generation now that's coming into the business, so they have a clear idea of how to carry along the virtues and the values of their grandparents who began this venture. So there's also what's known as an ethical will. These have traditionally been done in print form, but now some folks are doing them in audio and video. And these are basically shorter than video biographies, and they're basically short statements about values that folks want to make sure their families understand. And we can talk a little bit more about that in coming episodes. So I think that's really just, I just wanted to whet your appetite for episodes yet to come. These are the kinds of things I'll be talking about. And I welcome your comments, your observations, and your questions, because I'll be able to certainly work them into future programs. So once again, my name is Steve Pender. If you'd like to get in touch with me, you can, first of all, visit the Family Legacy Video website, and that's familylegacyvideo.com. Again, familylegacyvideo.com. Lots of information there, sample clips that you'll be able to watch. And if you'd like to email me, feel free to do so at steve@familylegacyvideo.com. Thank you for taking the time to listen to this podcast. I look forward to future installments and hearing from you. By the way, what's your story?